I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. It's Monday, October 26th, and you're in for another episode of The Memo. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke. Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
You good? You awake over there?
I'm pretty awake. I've had two cups of coffee already.
This is disposable. Where's your normal Breaking Bad / Batman /
Yeah, I had a cup at home this morning, then I needed another cup. I got in a hurry and just stopped by a local eating establishment. And that doesn't sponsor this show, so I'm not going to name them. And got a coffee. Yeah.
So that's why you don't look too awake, because it's not
it's Monday,
good kind of coffee. It is Monday.
Monday and it's raining, so
it's
just
a rainy
sucks.
Monday, it's which terrible. In high school is the best, but in work seems like the worst. It always seemed like it to me.
Well, I've always hated rain. So.
Well, it seemed like the teachers were far more annoyed with it in high school. And they were like, you just do whatever you want to do. They couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Now we're the ones that can't be bothered with anything.
Yeah, I just don't like getting wet.
It's okay. It messes up your hair.
My hair, yeah.
So we got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to be talking about Ole Miss's flag coming down. I'm not discussing that right there.
Something else came down.
This is the Almost Naked podcast.
If you thought the flag coming down at Ole Miss was a big deal, you should be in the room with us right now. Brad Locke is shaved.
Clean shaven.
Like a baby's bottom.
I was about to say, as soft as
not really.
Baby's rear end.
It might have been when you did it. When did you do it?
Saturday night. I got bored.
That's what happens when you get bored?
I pop
in a movie when I get bored.
Actually, my beard became sentient and struck out on its own.
Apparently.
So yeah. So hopefully it'll come
not
back soon.
Much like the Cubs, huh?
Unfortunate. Yeah. So, yeah. Threw Derek for a little bit of a loop this morning.
I was not expecting that, and I made a conscious effort not to say mangle your name, nor discuss if you were doing something different with your hair, but then walked in through the glass and saw that and thought you were just messing with me at this point.
Maybe that's why.
That's a long con right there, if that's the case. But either way,
it's a pretty good one.
It looks good
on you.
It takes years off of you. I can't rock the no beard.
I don't think I can either. So
no,
it's coming back.
You
it's
look coming, a lot younger. I can't do it. I look like a giant toddler.
That's what I feel like. Okay. At least I don't shave my head anymore, because I did that once. When I used to shave my head all the time.
I've
then
seen,
I shaved
I've
my beard.
I've seen those mugshots.
That's no good.
I've seen
like
those.
A giant potato on my neck.
I've seen those mugshots out there in the old books.
Yeah. So
might have texted a few of those around at the Christmas party. But no, it does look good. Nah, I'm being serious. I can't rock it. So anybody that can,
it's still coming. The beard's going to come back.
Yeah,
because my 13-year-old daughter keeps looking at me and going, "Stranger danger."
Oh God,
where's my dad? So my kids are not taking it well.
That's terrible.
Fortunately, the newborn is just unaffected.
I know. I was going to say, was that terrifying?
Well,
like when my kid was little and I did it a couple of times, like it frightened her.
She's less than 3 months old. I'm not even sure her vision is all the way developed. She can't see like more than 18 inches in front of her focused. So she's just going probably more by smell and feel right now.
Like a velociraptor.
Yeah, pretty much. Without the teeth.
Oh, yeah. They'll come in.
Yeah, they will.
They'll come in.
So we haven't done a show in like forever together.
We have not. It's good to be. Hey,
Brad Locke. Good to meet
Derek
you,
Russell.
Yeah,
good to meet you as well.
Glad we're finally doing this podcast thing.
Yeah. Well, I heard you like somebody better than me, so I thought.
Well, she is prettier than you.
Well, that nobody can deny. That is true. But
no, it's nice to have my old partner back.
Hey,
fist bump. Pew, load up. Okay.
Speaking of Ole Miss, that's a reverse segue. We already brought it up, then we went off tangent, and now I'm coming back around to it. Good weekend for SEC in Mississippi.
Be careful if you're on your Segway and put it in reverse. You might fall off.
That I've done that before.
Okay.
You can't put it in reverse. You just have to.
I've never been on one.
You know how those actually work? I didn't know, but no. I did a story on them
really?
Back at the beginning of the year, and I actually I got to ride on two or three different models.
Nice.
And it's based on center of gravity. So there's not like you're not putting in reverse or forward. It's not like a golf cart. You're literally rolling backwards on your heels to make it go backwards.
I totally hurt myself.
Oh, I nearly killed myself. It was god awful. There was one that was like a chariot from Ben-Hur, and that one was a little bit more okay to.
Cool.
Yeah, that one was nice. I felt far more safe in that one, and that thing also got up to like 50 miles an hour. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Good
but
Lord.
those like biped looking with the, you know, the normal ones,
the Paul Blart.
Yeah, the Paul Blart model. I also did not learn until this week what an ox board was. Have you seen one of these?
A what?
An ox board? Apparently,
that's what
the younger generation is driving now. I actually saw one in the live in Oxford the other day on Wednesday. I saw somebody going down Jackson on the sidewalk on one. It's basically a Segway without the bar.
Oh, that seems safe.
So it's just the platform you're standing on.
So it's like a skateboard turned the other way.
It's only slightly faster than walking.
Okay.
I mean, it goes like 3.
That's being lazy.
It seemed ridiculous to me.
That's ridiculous. Well, anyway, speaking of Oxford,
mm-hmm.
Let's get back to Ole Miss. Okay, college football, Ole Miss and Mississippi State both getting big SEC wins on Saturday. Ole Miss defeating Texas A&M 23-3, Mississippi State defeating Kentucky 42-16. I watched a good bit of both of those games, more the Ole Miss game because I found it more intriguing. And the both kind of ended up being blowouts. But, you know, Ole Miss coming off that big loss to Memphis, stunning loss to Memphis, which is still undefeated. So that's a pretty good team. But I kind of wondered how they would react to that. Seemed like from the outside maybe there was just something wrong in the machinations, the inner workings of that team, because they got the talent.
Ole Miss?
Yeah, Ole Miss. Because they got the talent, it just seemed like something was amiss.
Yeah, Memphis always trips up Ole Miss, it seems
like.
That's a given. There's taxes, there's cockroaches, and Memphis is always going to give Ole Miss a run for it.
Yeah, and this is a good Memphis team. But Ole Miss responded quite well against a higher-ranked opponent with a really good offense, held them to 3 points. So that keeps the Rebels in the SEC West race with one loss, Alabama also with one loss, LSU still undefeated, so Ole Miss needs some help, and they can help themselves later this season by beating LSU. But they have as good a shot as anybody at winning the West. If you win the West, you go to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. You win that, even with two losses overall, Ole Miss could conceivably find its way into the 4-team college football playoff.
So there's a chance.
You're saying that? Yes, there's a chance. Yeah, there is a chance.
It's like 1 to 1,000,000.
Yep, no, it's better than that because honestly, nobody in college football has just jumped out and made people say, oh, that's the front runner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you kind of default to Alabama.
That game the other night was terrible.
Tennessee had them on the ropes.
Tennessee wore them out.
Yeah. Of course, the Alabama also dropped 4 possible interceptions, but you know that still they had to drive down late to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not invincible by any means.
And it was still at the 2-minute mark in the fourth quarter. It was anybody's game.
Yeah, it was. And
even 5-point difference.
And let's not forget, Ole Miss beat Bama, so they have the head-to-head tiebreaker if they both end the season with one loss. And again, they need some help with LSU. If an Ole Miss can beat LSU, that solves that problem. They'll have a head-to-head against both those teams. And then LSU and Alabama have to play each other at some point, so one of those teams will have a loss there. So going to be interesting in the West to see how things go. Mississippi State is currently 2-2 in the West, so going to Atlanta probably not going to happen for the Bulldogs. But, you know, if you went out.
Back on the AP poll.
You never know. Yeah, back in the rankings at 25, Ole Miss is up to 19.
That's Ole Miss, AP. What about coaches?
I don't even pay attention to the coaches. I don't know.
Nobody cares.
It doesn't matter. Honestly, the AP doesn't matter, but it just is more legit to me. Ole Miss has to take on Auburn. I believe that's at Auburn this weekend. Mississippi State is off. So there's your college football talk. You can get a lot more in-depth and better analysis on Ole Miss and State on Thursday. Let's not forget Double Coverage, the podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry will go up on Thursday afternoon, doublecoverage.djournal.com. So be sure to check them out.
I will tell you that on the coaches poll, Ole Miss is 21,
mm-hmm.
and Mississippi State is not.
Not ranked. Receiving
not ranked.
Votes.
Not ranked.
That's okay. That's okay. Keep winning.
But Ohio State, again, on the coaches and on AP in the first.
You're number one. So, okay. We got a lot of stuff to get to, like we said. So
I think you're going to be talking to Errol.
Sure am. About
the flag coming down.
It's a big deal.
That is some newsworthy events right there.
Yes, it is. Let's welcome Errol Castens into the show. Errol, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Brad. Glad to be with y'all again.
Well, we had big news pop up this morning. First thing, pretty much, University of Mississippi has removed the state flag from its Oxford campus and put it in the, I guess, the university archives. Are you surprised it happened this soon?
I'm really not. I suspected that one of the best gifts that Morris Stocks could give to Jeff Bitter would be to resolve this issue before his visit.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was figuring was some of the reasoning behind it was, of course, Jeff Vitter, going to be the new chancellor, just a formality now. So Morris Stocks is the interim chancellor, bridging the gap between Dan Jones and Vitter.
That's correct.
And so this seems like one of those things where, okay, this is probably going to happen, just do it now. And it takes a lot of pressure off Vitter because, I mean, that'd be a tough thing to have to deal with pretty much first thing getting on the job.
Exactly. It would be an alienating thing for Vitter with a lot of people. Of course, a lot of people would greatly support that. But by Morris Stocks, who doesn't have a long-term dog in the fight, by his doing it, it took a lot of pressure off of Vitter.
So the flag comes down. Of course, you know, it has the Confederate emblem up in the upper left-hand corner, as it has for a very long time. And Errol, I guess this is, like we've said, this is an issue that isn't going to go away. Do we just, is this something we're going to keep, the ball's just going to keep rolling? You're going to see the flag keep disappearing until, I guess, you know, whether the legislature does something about it or not, huh?
I suspect it will be an ongoing issue, very much like Colonel Reb. He is officially no longer part of the university, other than they own the copyright, I understand.
Right.
But they consider him a historic emblem and have relegated him to the museum. And this literally will be put into the museum, probably has been already. And so a lot of people will still carry their Mississippi flags, I'm sure, in the Grove, just as a protest against this, but others will say that this was exactly the right thing to do.
Just last week, the Student Senate voted, I think it was, to adopt a resolution to remove the flag. Faculty Senate was also behind this. The NAACP pitched in as well. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, there was the on-campus rally against the flag. So being over there in Oxford, Errol, maybe it's a little too early, but what kind of sense do you get of the reaction? Obviously, it's going to be mixed. A lot of people are not going to be happy about this.
A lot of people are not. I tend to hear from a lot of conservative people who think it's a slap in the face. Some have made the case that the American flag has flown over more atrocities than the Mississippi state flag ever has. They have a good point, but I don't know that that's going to change anybody's mind. The specifics of the Confederate flag are what stick in people's throats, I'm sure.
Right.
That it was the flag of the South. It was the flag of the rebelling states. Some people see that as an honorable thing. Some people, obviously, I think most of us would agree that it's a good thing, at least when World War II came along, that the United States was the United States.
Yeah.
One could parse this in a number of ways, but we are the United States. I guess from my own personal point of view, it amazes me that we spend as much energy on symbols as we do while ignoring a lot of more substantial issues while we argue the symbols. But I'm in the minority there.
Errol, speaking of Jeffrey Vitter, the soon-to-be chancellor of Ole Miss, he's scheduled for a visit this Thursday. Is that correct?
Yes.
What's he? What's kind of his itinerary? What's he going to be doing while he's here?
He will be at the inn at Ole Miss all day, meeting with different scheduled constituency groups from students to faculty to administrators, and there will be one time, I believe at 11 o'clock, when alumni and the general public are invited to visit with him. At 2:30, as the schedule goes, the entire IHL board will have a special meeting. I'm sure they will go into executive session immediately, and they will vote on making him an offer. As you said a while ago, I'm sure that's merely a formality at this point, unless he sticks his foot in his mouth in some way that I can't even imagine. I mean, he's a very polished academic, very polished administrator. He's not likely to blow his own chances in these last interviews.
Yeah, unless he just stands up and says, forget hell, and starts running around with the Confederate flag, I think we're okay.
That would be one way.
Yeah.
Or if he shows up in a Colonel Red outfit.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. But anyway, interesting times in Oxford. Errol, thanks for spending some time with us.
My pleasure.
A lot of interesting information coming out of Oxford in the past few days. Definitely a lot of changes going on there, Brad.
Yeah, there is. Always
more changes happening, at least for the education system.
Yeah, I got the Initiative 42 thing. It's still a thing. It's on the ballot November 3rd. Citizens will get to vote on that or the alternative, and it's all kind of confusing to some people because you got two things on the ballot. I think first you have to decide if you should vote if one of them should be approved. If you want to change, and then you vote on which one. So anyway. But to tell you what, we've had a lot of coverage, and I hope our coverage has helped to clarify some of that for people. And going to have a couple of our reporters in here right now, Emma Crawford and Bobby Harrison. He's down in Jackson. Emma's right here with us. So, Emma, how are you?
I'm good, Brad. How's it going?
Good. Bobby?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're all right. There's a lot to talk about with this, and we've talked about a lot of it, obviously. We've covered this subject pretty well in the paper, online, and even here on the show. Emma, I want to go to you first. One thing that really intrigues me about this, you know, a lot of people who oppose Initiative 42, they're afraid, I guess, that funding education is going to be solely in the hands of a judge, mm-hmm. and that the legislature will have...
That one judge is getting a lot of flack lately.
He is. And you did had a good story Sunday in the Journal kind of trying to break it down, how it might all work and the language and everything. And you spoke with a fellow from Mississippi College, Matthew Steffi. Yeah, constitutional law professor. So he kind of knows what he's talking about. From his point of view, are these concerns from opponents legit?
Well, I mean, in one sense they are, because you can't predict what any judge or a court is going to do. You don't know for sure. But he said, historically, and especially in Mississippi, the courts most likely would give the legislature some flexibility in how they would say, you know, this is what the goal is, this is what we need to do, but, you know, you guys figure out how to do it. So, you know, he said he highly doubts they would be wanting to take over, you know, dealing with the education budget and making all those education policy decisions, because that's not that's not what their role is. And he said, you know, they can say, we need to do this, figure out a way to do it to the legislature. And so that was kind of his consensus on it.
And then there's the matter of the language that a lot of people think is intentionally vague or nebulous. And so how much impact will this even have, this initiative have, if it does pass? And will it actually fully fund education in Mississippi? Is that a real issue as well? Is it clear enough or is it not? Does it give the legislature some leeway to maybe not fully fund?
Well, I mean, it doesn't say anything about MAEP in it, which is the Mississippi Adequate Education Program, which is the formula that they've said is this is how you adequately fund public schools in Mississippi. You know, it doesn't mention that specifically, but I don't know. I really don't know. It's a tough question. In talking to Steffi, you know, he said there's not anything in the language that suggests that it needs to be immediately full funded.
Right.
which is interesting because the legislature's been saying, you know, if it passes, we're going to immediately fully fund it. And that means we're going to cut like 8% across the board from other agencies and programs. And so he said, you know, they don't have to do that. Likely they would be given the time to figure it out. And there's nothing in the language that mandates that they do that immediately. But it is kind of vague. I mean, it is. But but I think also is a lot of constitutional amendments are kind of vague. Because their role is more like a principle. It's not, you know, a plan. It's not a list of steps to do something. Right. It's like a goal. So,
And Bobby Harrison, our bureau reporter in Jackson, what kind of your take on that with the vague language? Is it, I mean, the sense you get from lawmakers down there is that is the language really going to be a problem when it comes to actually implementing this initiative if it passes?
Well, I think Emma made some good points there in the sense that constitutional language sets a goal. And sometimes those goals are spelled out in the laws that are passed by the legislature.
Yeah.
And right now, I think the supporters of Initiative 42 would say the law is that the adequate education program, fully funded, when it's fully funded, adequately funds local school districts. Now, you connect that with the constitutional language that says that the state shall operate an adequate and efficient system of public education. And there's the connection between the law, the adequate education, and the language that says the legislature itself has defined what adequate is by passing MAEP. And the Constitution says that's the goal of the state is to have an adequate and efficient system of public education. There's been, Brad, there's been so much discussion about this initiative, and I think Emma made some good points and excellent points in that nobody knows for sure what the judges are going to do. And I think Emma made a good point that it's not necessarily going to be one, you know, it could be one Hines County judge, but the odds are that the Supreme Court is going to have the ultimate say in this, and even the initiative opponents will admit that when you really push comes to shove, even though that's not what their advertising says.
Yeah.
You know, three branches of government, that's what we learn in ninth grade civics.
Yep.
Right now, under the current law and under the current language in the Constitution, you or I could file a lawsuit against the state saying that it's not doing an adequate job of educating the children in the state. The problem is that the language in the Constitution currently is so weak. Most people would say it's the weakest language in all 50 states, in all state constitutions. It's the weakest language. In other words, our language puts less of a priority on education than any language in any state in the country.
Yeah.
Now, it was done like that on purpose for a reason. In 1960, at that time, our leaders did not want to put a priority on education because they did not want forced integration.
Yeah.
So they changed the Constitution at that time to make it real weak, and it's been strengthened a little bit since 1960, but it's still viewed by most objective people as the weakest language in the country. And simply what this initiative does is to strengthen that language so that we have more of a priority on education like other states do.
And and you had a story about this as well in Sunday's Journal, Bobby, and going back to the issue of the courts and the legislature, as you know, someone you spoke with, David Sciara of the Education Law Center in New Jersey, he says the courts are generally deferential to the other branches of government. I mean, I guess there's the fear that this one branch, the judicial branch, is suddenly going to go rogue and just do whatever it wants, and that's not really how it's worked over the years.
And we have an example of that going on right now. Under the current language, former Governor Ronnie Musgrove, who actually was the primary architect of the MAEP law back in 97, one of the architects, I mean, most people would concede he was the primary architect. He has currently filed a lawsuit saying that the state has not met its obligation to fund MAEP, and that lawsuit is being heard right now by one Hines County Chancery judge that's already rebutted Musgrove's efforts one time and said that, no, I'm, you know, I can't order the state to fully fund it. And Musgrove asked the judge to reconsider, but, you know, as of right now, the one Hines County judge is saying, no, I can't do that.
Right.
So, I mean, so, you know, if the judiciary is such a, you know, out of control branch of government like the opponents of Initiative 42 would have you believe, I mean, why don't they just take the current language in the Constitution and the current law and say, okay, let's fully fund education. Legislature fully fund education right now. They're not doing that because the judiciary especially Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's conservative in bent, and it's also very careful, and no branch of government wants to be at complete odds with the legislature, because guess what? The legislature not only funds education, the legislature funds the judiciary too. So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
There's a reason the judiciary doesn't want to be at complete odds with the legislature.
Exactly. All right. Well, Bobby, Emma, good stuff from y'all. And again, y'all can read those stories in Sunday's paper and also at djournal.com. And they did a video discussing this, analyzing Initiative 42, which you can find with Bobby's story on the website from Sunday. So thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're joined now by religion editor Riley Manning. Riley, thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Tell us a little bit about Cornerstone Church. This has been something that's been in the works for a while now.
Yeah, it's been going on about a year. And then before that, there was about a year of discernment on Cornerstone's end, whether they wanted to do it. Cornerstone is a large Assembly of God congregation in South Haven. And they're... It's an Assembly of God church here, East Heights Assembly of God Church over in East Tupelo. It's actually Elvis's old congregation, not the same building, but the same group. And they were kind of lagging in membership and whatnot. And, you know, Cornerstone said, hey, like, let us come alongside you and, you know, reinvigorate y'all with staff and renovations and stuff like that.
So what's the plan moving forward? I mean, there's going to be an inaugural service this Sunday, but is there more work that they want to do with the congregation here?
Well, that was actually the inaugural service was yesterday. And so I was talking to the pastor, Jeff Robbins, and he was saying that the good thing about this church is usually you start with a small group and then you save a little money and you get a keyboard for your band and like build incrementally that way.
Right.
But with this support, it's allowed them to just kind of just start in the full swing of things. They have two services, childcare, like a band. I talked to Assembly of God Presbyter Mike Price this morning, who's over the Northeast Mississippi Assembly of God churches, and he said that they had about 400.
Wow.
Which is cool. Assembly of God is actually one of the few denominations that is that's growing. And obviously, like a lot of those were people from the South Haven church coming.
I was going to say, do you know how that compares to their normal numbers?
Well, the South Haven Church is I hesitate to use the word mega church.
Right, but I mean, as far as the East Heights Church, do you know how that compares?
I mean, they were down to like 50 or something at East Heights. East Heights, like pretty low, so this would be good.
It made a big boom for them. What kind of, did they do any work to the existing building itself in addition to the, you know, the band members and stuff like that?
Yeah, they hired some sort of design team out of Birmingham to come in, and they've made it a really cool space. So
just worked with the existing space in addition to, or instead of adding on.
Yeah, they said they had a lot of cooperation from local folks too in getting material and things like that. So Tupelo businesses have been good to them.
Will they continue? Is it after a certain point they're like, okay, you guys are good on your own now, and they break away, they'll pull out.
It'll be all on their own next Sunday. This was just kind of the inaugural deal, and so next Sunday it'll be all of them. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, stand on their own two legs after that, and with all that work done and everything. Well, that's great. That's good. Good for that area and good for that that existing church as it is. Riley, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. See y'all later.
I have enjoyed today's episode immensely, and I know it will even more because even though it's a rainy Monday, it's still Monday, and that means crime reports
police
with
reports.
Brad Locke. What we got, Brad? Please
some,
give me a winner. Please.
We got some gems in here today.
I like a gem.
Derek, lots of
Is
gems.
Is it the gem that works over
GEM?
Oh, that's gem. One of the gems. That's making sure. Maybe it was related to James.
I don't see any James in reports
Jim
today.
Short for James.
That's too bad. I guess
it's a bad one.
What?
You haven't had enough coffee for that joke yet.
I need a third cup. A man digging a gas line trench on Commerce Street uncovered
by himself.
I guess.
Did he call ahead? Because they say to do that.
That's
in
Tupelo, isn't it? Commerce Street, yeah. Mm-hmm. He uncovered a bone roughly 10 inches long that he believed to be... human.
Oh my goodness.
Dun dun dun. We need some music there, Chris. What?
I heard about this. This is over where they're building the police station, the new Tupelo police station. And yes,
and
details are still sketchy on whether or not it's an animal bone or a human bone.
As noted in the police reports, the bone was turned over to the coroner for further investigation. So,
well,
there you go.
We'll follow up on that one.
Boy,
just the one.
Just the one, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit disturbing.
And my dog probably buried it.
It's a 10-inch long bone. I mean, if that's a human bone, what bone would that be? Like your thigh bone?
It's connected to the...
I don't know. Anyway.
Brad's not had enough coffee for that joke either.
Yeah, no, I got you. Okay, you think you're having a bad day. Then there's this guy. An officer went to Popeyes to stand by while they terminated an employee. That's always bad when you have to have a cop nearby when someone's getting fired because you think he just might shoot up the place. While waiting, the officer ran the guy's name and, we found an outstanding warrant. So right after the man was fired, he was arrested and taken to jail.
Now that's profiling, isn't it? Well, let's just randomly check this guy while he's getting fired. And I mean, what possessed him to do that?
If they're calling the police to a firing, and firings happen every day, but police don't get called to the place.
But listen, getting fired from Popeyes, you're going to need to call the cops too, because I want that chicken.
No more free biscuits.
Those biscuits are amazing. I'm having Popeyes for lunch. That's what's happening now.
Yeah, so that's probably, you're probably expecting a possible bad reaction.
That's a bad day.
But on the other hand, the guy probably deserved it, but that's still a bad day.
Well, regardless, you got fired, and then when you walk outside, sir, I'm going to need you to put your double hands whammy, behind your back.
Like, yeah. Really, could we just like do one day?
We don't know what the warrant was for, though, do we?
No, we don't. That's unfortunate. But, outstanding warrant. So,
yeah. If it was for stealing chicken, it might be.
Well, that sucks to be
all
him.
Relatable.
Here we go. A Green Tea Road woman said a male suspect has been threatening her. After filing the report on October 9th, the man came to her house and called her a beep. Can't say that word. A hoe and an undercover crackhead and threatened to drag her down the road.
James is getting bold.
Undercover crackhead. I don't know. I guess
he's an outright crackhead?
I don't. Was he trying to imply she was an undercover cop who's posing as a crackhead?
A crackhead narc?
I'm not sure what he's getting at
there. Or a crackhead who's posing as an everyday citizen.
That might be my favorite new thing to call somebody.
Undercover
Next
crackhead.
Next time our producer gets mad, I say, you're an undercover crackhead. Like, that has no relevance whatsoever.
That makes no sense. How do you know what that...
Undercover crackhead. I'm just starting mumbling under my breath when Chris walks by undercover crackhead.
I'm going to start using that undercover crackhead.
That's fantastic.
It is.
It sounds like a 80s show. Next, after Miami Vice.
Undercover crackhead.
Undercover crackhead on CBS.
Be a good band name,
starring
too.
Don Johnson. Oh, yeah, it would be a good band name. Yeah.
It's probably the title of an episode of Heart to Heart or something.
It needs a name with it, though, like Derek and the Underhook.
Oh, and the Undercover Crackheads.
Derek and the Undercover Crackheads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be a good
We're opening
rock,
for Kiss this
band.
Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiss.
Not
you wanted the best,
though.
You got the best.
Those guys are old. Anyway, we got one more here, Derek. A South Madison Street man said he and his roommate had a couple of girls over last night. Hey, having the girls over. He did not know one girl's name and only knew the first name of the other girl. Gee, I wonder if they just met.
James?
At the bar. When he woke up this morning, his Xbox 360 game console and about 16 games were missing, as were the girls.
That's unfortunate.
Well, on the upside, they're gamers.
I think he was the undercover crackhead in this scenario. Can we say crackhead on the air?
Yeah, we can.
Good. We've said it like 30 times at this point.
If not, Chris is going to hate us. You got that
Wait, is that the FCC at the
sound,
window
beeping
right
sound?
Now? Okay.
So I guess the girls are
he,
gamers.
He brought two young ladies back to his place.
These two guys did.
Oh, these two guys brought two young ladies
The guy
back
and his roommate
place.
Brought these two girls over.
Okay.
And I guess at some point, obviously, they went to sleep. And then when they woke up, girls were gone. Xbox was gone. A lot of their games were gone.
They just didn't teach them a lesson.
But listen, if these guys love video games so much, they found two girls that love video games. Just track them down. Say, hey, it's cool. We'll let you have the video games. Maybe bring the Xbox back. You can play with us.
Tracking them down might be hard at this point since they didn't know the names.
True. Only knew one first name of one girl.
Of the individuals. Okay.
So I don't know. But... there you go.
The rough weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's all the crime reports we have. You can find more, though, at tipsheet.djournal.com. Hopefully we'll have some up today.
Any good mugshots?
Oh, there's always good mugshots, Derek, and I always forget to look for them to remind myself before you... No, I just like
putting you on the spot.
We got another face tat. I don't even know what this guy's got on his face. Uh-huh. It's pretty terrible.
Okay.
I'm going to... Share bring the computer the screen up to my... is that like...
Just do the Apple and the Plus.
You know what that... Well, it kind of looks like...
Apple Plus.
Yeah, but it's so blurry. Well. It kind of looks like the state of Michigan. I might have to get Lauren Wood in here to confirm. But, I mean, it kind of does.
That's Iowa.
No, it's too much going that way, see? But then it looks too long on the going... I don't know. It just does not look like any... Like, it doesn't look like any sort of object.
I do think it's possibly Rhode Island.
I'm going to go with Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is pretty intricate under the collar.
All the neck tats, and people know how I feel. And I think he's got some going up on his head, but again, he's kind of got his head tilted back and it's blurry. Yeah. But just don't do the neck tats or the head tats or the face tats or any tats above the shoulders. Basically,
he at least kept a beard. What's your excuse?
What? He's got some scruff. It's okay. Anyway, go. Yeah. Y'all go look for yourself.
Go Gadget.
Shut up. Y'all go look for yourself and see if you can figure out what that guy's tat is.
Let's play Name That State.
Name
on this individual's face.
Leave your comments below.
Yes, we'll find out what state you think it is.
Jeez.
We'll match it up. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. We've had a lot of stuff going on in this one. Again, we want to remind you about Double Coverage, our new spinoff podcast covering Mississippi State and Ole Miss news. Ahead and I guess after each week, wrapping up the previous game and looking ahead at the games to come. Won't be too much this week. Mississippi State's got their off Saturday, but that's okay. You can find that on iTunes or look for a live broadcast of it each Thursday at djournal.com. Also, our Bridal Journal Expo, you are invited on Sunday, November 15th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Kingfisher Lodge in Verona. That's where you can find about all kinds of different vendors that are going to be asking you to let them be in. We should have asked Emma who she's using. Emma
could have endorsed.
Emma's coming up on her wedding this weekend. But there's going to be a fashion show featuring local dress, hair, makeup, and floral vendors. All kinds of ways to make your wedding painless, from wedding cakes to anything you can possibly think of with florists. And also having seminars and consultations, not to mention door prizes and a grand prize valued at over $1,000. So nice. Don't want to miss that. You can register today, bridaljournal.ms/expo.
And let's remind you about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email and text messaging services for local businesses, thrive.ms. Booyah.
Very nicely done, sir.
Both of you staring me down.
Even last time somebody in your face. Hey, don't forget to check us out, memo.djournal.com, and also on Twitter at djournalmemo. All the news you heard about today, you can find at djournal.com or follow us on our Twitter at djournalnow. We'll be back again on Wednesday with an all-new episode. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.